riders battle challenging conditions in the Alcan 200 snow machine race. And hundreds turn out for women's marches in Haines and Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. The Haines Borough Assembly will decide next steps for the borough manager position at a meeting Tuesday night. After firing former manager Bill Seward, the Assembly voted to hire Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan as interim manager. Ryan and Haines resident Deborah Schnabel have both expressed interest in the permanent position. A citizen complaint that accuses the Assembly of violating resident Diana Lapham's constitutional rights is also on the agenda. The complaint refers to the Assembly denying Lapham's appointment to the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee. The borough attorney is reviewing the complaint to determine whether it warrants investigation. The Assembly will also discuss its lobbyist contract with Bill Thomas. A memo from interim manager Ryan asks the Assembly whether they want to continue the contract for another 6 months through the state legislative session. It would cost about $22,000. The borough attorney requested an executive session at the end of the Assembly meeting. Topics in that closed-door discussion include a public records request from former manager Seward and a complaint from Sue Waterhouse and Paul Nelson. Seward is considering a wrongful termination lawsuit against the borough. Waterhouse and Nelson's complaint stems from an incident over the summer when they were temporarily banned from the borough offices. The meeting is scheduled for Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Riders faced some of the toughest conditions in years during Saturday's Alcan 200 snow machine race north of Haines. Biting cold, fierce winds, and long stretches of bare pavement made the 150-mile competition more challenging than usual. Despite the difficulties, two Haines locals took home first and second place overall. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
On Saturday morning, snow machiners set up at the starting line, which is just past the U.S.-Canada border, about 40 miles north of Haines. Temperatures hovered around 0 degrees, and riders were bracing for even colder weather as they raced north through British Columbia and the Yukon.
How many layers do you have on?
Five.
That's Haines resident Nicole Holm with her father, Shane Horton, laughing in the background. Holm has lots of layers and her iPod earbuds on to distract from the cold.
It's a conglomeration of everything from Metallica to Theory of a Dead Man to Nickelback. Mostly it's my 15-year-old kid's playlist.
And what is
Metallica, you just won't listen to your engine blowing up. It's the same sounds.
Horton and Holm braved the Alcan for the first time in 2016. They're part of a growing number of locals getting involved in recent years. 13 of the 27 competitors this year live in Haines. With duct tape on their faces to protect against the wind chill and an ambulance following behind, the snow machiners were off, two by two. They speed about 80 miles up the Haines Highway to Desdiash Lodge and then turn back around. The riders have the road to themselves. It's closed to other traffic for the event.
1 hour, 31 minutes, 43 seconds. First, overall, Chris Brooks.
At the awards ceremony later that night, two of the top three prizes went to locals. Just like last year, Haines residents Chris Brooks and Jack Smith Jr. take first and second place overall. Brooks says he was originally going to miss the race, but he changed his plans around so he could make it.
Yeah, this is important. This isn't something that happens every day. And, you know, to have a race organized in one country, run in another country, not only another country, but two different provinces of another country, that's kind of cool. It's kind of special.
Brooks says these were some of the poorest conditions he's seen in his 10 years participating in the Alcan. He says the worst part was the combination of 30 or so miles of bare pavement and winds strong enough to knock you over.
It was definitely challenging today. There's no question about that. Definitely had some wrecks because of the pavement. You know, you can't steer on the pavement, and you just kind of bounce off the snowbanks and hope you bounce in the right direction.
The asphalt was pretty challenging. We had to slow down a bit for that to make sure we could steer, but you have to keep going. You can't stop.
Justin Peterson is an Alcan regular from Whitehorse. His brother, Nathan, placed third overall behind Brooks and Smith. Peterson says even though there are brutal conditions some years, he'll keep competing in the Alcan.
The Alcan is definitely a big highlight of my winter. It's a big commitment for time and for money and for time off, and it's a lot of fun.
The rough conditions contributed to 10 people not being able to finish the race and a few injuries. Whitehorse resident and Alcan rookie Donna Chambers made it all the way through. She and Holm were the only women competitors.
At first I was like, wow, what am I doing? But yeah, I'm glad that I did it. I can cross that one off on my bucket list.
If there are more people wanting to cross what's dubbed the longest snow machine race in North America off their bucket list, organizers hope to find them. The Chilkat Snowburners Club is gearing up for the 50th Alcan in 2019. For that, they want to recruit at least twice as many riders. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Last weekend, the day after Donald Trump's inauguration, people around the world gathered at women's marches in the name of a wide range of issues. Equality, unity, human rights, and environmental justice, to name a few. From Washington, D.C., across the United States, to Haines and Skagway. In the Upper Lynn Canal, the wind blew hard and the cold was biting, but turnout far exceeded expectations. In Haines, the crowd gathered at the Chilkat Center before heading outside. Margaret Friedenauer, one of the organizers, said she'd spoken to the police department ahead of time about how many people would be out marching.
All I need to know is when, where, how many people you think you have. I said maybe 25. So
they're laughing because looking around the room, there are way more than 25 people, and even more outside. At least 150 showed up, despite strong winds and frigid temperatures. Melissa Aronson helped with the Haines March.
Personally, I have to say I missed these 6 weeks. Welcome back.
The group bundled up, put on boots and ice grippers, and marched for about a mile around Haines. Assemblyman Tom Morfitt brought his trumpet. Women, men, children, and animals walked together for many different reasons. Participants held signs that read things like inclusive, diversity, environmental justice, my body, my choice, and resist, protect, create. They filled out a group poster with things like disability rights matter and make America kind again.
Equality, fairness, justice.
We want to be all inclusive of all minorities, and we are concerned about the state of our world, and we are just here to show support and solidarity.
My issues are primarily healthcare, education, and the environment. So healthcare, including reproductive care.
I believe that we're all different yet equal expressions of humanity.
That was Assemblyman Ron Jackson, Patty Kermoyan, Patty Brown, and Diane LaCourse. Hannah Revenaugh Bocart was among those marching. She said, when you have a platform, it's important to speak up.
If you come from a place of privilege, like I do, it's really important to get the word out because we're going to have a really rough time these next 4 years.
Participants looked beyond the course of Saturday's march. Friedenauer said after it's all over, it's important to stay active and involved.
I think today is just about realizing there are some common goals, but people can find their niche and work on that the best way they can for the years to come.
Mike Danker said he joined the march for support and equality. He said keeping that message strong when the march is over requires civic engagement.
Our closest connection to government is local, so getting active on a local level with our local government, through the assembly, through committees, volunteer on committees, attend meetings.
In Skagway, the weather was just as challenging and the turnout similarly strong. Organizer Annie Matsov expected around 20 people, and 112 came out to march. It was cold and windy, and participants created a modular sign to lessen the impact of the gusts. Like the wind, Matsov said the march was powerful.
I think if 2016 taught me anything, it was that the vocal minority in this country can can really be powerful. And so it was really great to see so much support for this issue, and just to stand in solidarity with the other women and men and children that were out for the event. It really touched me. It was great.
The message was clear from those marching in the Upper Lynn Canal. Their fight for equality did not end on Saturday. That was just day one. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins.